Well, I want to acknowledge the book, The Wisdom Pyramid by Brett McCracken. And this lesson comes from the chapter on the church. Church headlines today talk more about people leaving than joining. And this is especially true with young people who too often look at church as something unnecessary or counterproductive in meeting their spiritual needs. Certainly, if a person wants to find fault with today's church, he can easily do that because churches are filled with sinful work-in-progress people. And as they say, if you're looking for a perfect church, don't join it because it will no longer be perfect. But in spite of the church's imperfections, it really is an indispensable source of stability and growth, which means the church must be a weekly part of a Christian's life and service. As Brett McCracken has rightly stated, a faithful, Christ-centered church and its wisdom-infusing patterns of worship is increasingly a refuge for those being pummeled by a maelstrom, but that simply means the turbulence of our digital era. So rather than run from church, we need to be running to church. Tonight's outline gives us five reasons we need to do so. Remember last week we looked at the Bible, which is the most unwavering, most trustworthy, most durable source of wisdom. And the church in the wisdom pyramid follows the Bible as a needed source of truth for a life of wisdom. The most reliable source of truth is the Word of God. And then you have the church, and then you have nature, and then you have books, and then you have the arts, and then you have social media. So which one is the least reliable source of wisdom? Social media. Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. I know you're familiar with these two verses, but this is a good starting point, where verses 23 and 24 of Hebrews 10 tell us, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." And that provoke means to stir up. And how do we do that? How do we hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering? How do we provoke unto love and to good works? Well, then, very next verse tells us, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And the idea is don't neglect, don't abandon, don't desert gathering as God's people, as the manner of some is, but exhorting. And the idea there is to encourage, to comfort, to even give warning, to strengthen. And how can you do that when you're together in the house of the Lord? But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so I want us to look at five reasons again why the church is so necessary in the Christian walk. Reason number one to run to a church or run to a church like Westside is simply the wisdom of the church in this individualistic age. Now, you and I can read, and we need to read, and we need to study the Bible on our own. Psalm 1 tells us that the man is blessed who delights in the law of the Lord, and in that law he meditates day and night. But God gives us as well the church, where the collective wisdom across church history and the polity structures of a Bible-believing church provide guardrails against errant theology. It protects us against what Peter calls private interpretation, which is a temptation for the Lone Ranger Christian and leads to increased isolation from the body. Remember what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now today we are told that the individual is the primary source of truth. So follow your heart, live out your truth. But such a source is so unreliable because our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And so your heart, my heart, need a church body that can free us from the crushing weight of self-obsession and from becoming the self-appointed authority. We need to be under the wisdom, the authority of a body of Bible-believing believers whose gifts can stir us up to love and to good works, whose gifts can equip us for the work of the ministry, whose gifts can properly edify and build us up, whose gifts can bring a unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God that culminates in a living that is increasingly Christ-like. C.S. Lewis has wisely stated, the next best thing to becoming wise oneself is to live in a circle of those who are. Friends, going alone will only get you so far. We need a church of saints, imperfect though we are, if we are to truly become wise. But I think we need to ask the question, am I better off spiritually when I come to church? Am I better off spiritually if I'm in the house of the Lord? I think we all know that answer. Second reason for the church's importance is the wisdom of church-centered worship and practice in a me-centered age. Now, what are we saying here? The church's weekly practice and worshipful, stable ways orient our lives around God and His wisdom. But the narcissistic world in which we daily move and live causes us to celebrate self, to make self the star. You know, if your world, if all you're basically consumed with is yourself, then pretty soon yourself is all that matters. But again, the church points us to honor and celebrate someone much bigger and more compelling and totally fulfilling, and He is God. And this worship of the church humbly reminds us that life is not about me, but it's about God. Friends, a healthy church proclaims a message that is radically God-centered, not me-centered, which means God is preeminent. Not you, not me, which is a freeing and wonderful thing. Now, the church tells us we need to look not inward, but upward. Church worship, its songs, its prayer, its Bible readings, its communion, allow us to sit and focus on the God who is speaking His word of wisdom that leads to our redemption. Now, occasionally showing up at church at Christmas and Easter, Mother's Day, will hardly shape us. But a weekly immersion in a church's not-about-me orientation does wonders for our sanity in an unwise, me-centered age. Well, the third reason for the church's importance is its wisdom of limitations in a limitless age. As Academy Award-winning cinematographer Emmanuel Lubezki once said, art is made of constraints, which tells us life also has its constraints or restraints. But we live in a world where anything and everything goes. There are no boundaries in man's quest for hedonistic satisfaction. Thankfully, the church, guided by a biblical morality, provides vital moral limitations. It preaches against our sex-craved world, where right and wrong are in the eye of the beholder. It functions as a higher authority over the autonomous self and exists to glorify God by making faithful, holy disciples of Jesus. The fourth reason for the church's importance is because of the wisdom of this embodied community and really an unbodied age. Human beings were made for physical connections with people in real places, not just informational connections through the mediation of screens. And so in a lonely, disembodied world filled with the manipulative filters of life online, the church offers a beautiful alternative which is engagement with real live people who can personally know us, including all of our flaws, and still love us. It's a place, yes, where our struggles and weaknesses are revealed, but where emotional, spiritual, and physical healing can take place. And how soul refreshing it is to do physical things together, like sing and hug, shake hands, enjoy Western Day, celebrate our grads together, enjoy soup / chili night in the winter together. A physical in-flesh church can be a source of truth and hope in this lonely digital age. How many of you like to talk to a digital person when you call a company with a question? Have you ever said, I want to talk to a real person?